been a wretched year for South African equities, with previous market darlings losing substantial capital value, partly due to macroeconomic factors, but also due to their own idiosyncratic stories. Investors have been on edge with the developments, with some making a bigger push for offshore markets, while others consider sitting in cash and bonds while they wait for the storm to pass. And asset managers have had a tough time, as they've had to ensure that their clients continue as best as possible to continue achieving returns on the capital invested. To chat about this year's equity market developments and the psychology that's needed to see through a highly unpredictable moment in our time, I'm joined on the line by Annette Hearn. She's CEO at PSG Asset Management. Annette, South African equity valuations have been knocked hard this year. Did investors make a wrong call in investing in them in the first place, or is just one of those things that this outcome could not have been predicted?
If you're referring to specific stocks, I think they were quite a lot more of the events that we saw around specific shares. But I think that normally when a market is strong, those individual events are masked and you don't notice them as much because generally the market's just going up. And if one or two stocks fall badly, it's not the end of the world. Mm. I think what's happened in the last year is that, first of all, economic growth did slow down. So people became a lot more concerned about investing in equities, when in fact we believe they should be looking longer term and become more positive around investing in certain equities. Mm. But secondly, returns have been quite low. So as a result, if anything big happens, it's just magnified a lot more.
Yeah. So as PSG management began to see a worsening trend in equities, because that has been the general trend this past year, how did you go about reconfiguring portfolios such that any further downside losses were minimized?
We tend to be a bit more countercyclical. So we tend to build up cash in our portfolios when the market goes up, and we tend to invest more when the market has declined or goes down. Mm. So we, some of our products can actually hold cash. You know, generally equity funds tend to be fully invested, and then one would mainly rotate into the cheaper stocks, the stocks that offer better long-term value. Mm. But in our flexible funds and our multi-asset funds, towards the end of last year, we actually built up quite a lot of cash, and in the first 6 months of this year and later on in the year as well, started applying some of that cash as some of the stocks became cheaper.
A big reason why investors put their money in equities is because it's not regarded as very profitable to invest in cash for a long period, as inflation will tend to erode the value of your cash. But with the level of volatility that's been happening in global markets as well as the local market, it seems that cash and bonds appear a more attractive proposition. What's your take on this?
I think in the long run, you're always going to get your real growth above inflation from what we call your risk investments or your equities. But I think the last year has shown us, first of all, how I think people think very short term when it comes to equities, and they need to take a much, much longer term view, 5 to 7 years when one starts looking at investing in equities. And secondly, the other asset classes are as important. It's not an either or. So again, if one looks at a balanced fund or a flexible fund, this year, you could have got great yields from cash, let's say up to 8.5-9% at some point in the longer dated instruments, but that's not going to be where your big growth is going to come from in the long run. But it still contributes, especially when equities give you a low return over a few years, and it also provides some stability against that volatility you spoke about. A government bond, similarly, has given us really nice opportunities this year to invest. So we look at all the different asset classes as just tools to really build up to how do I get that margin above inflation over the long run? And all of them have a part to play.
Mm. And in terms of your methodology, in terms of, you know, the percentage that you put of your funds in equities vis-a-vis bonds and other assets, you know, how do you work that out?
So what we tend to do is our mandates are pretty clear. Some of them can only have 75% in equities, some 40, etc. So obviously that would be your upper end. But what we tend to do is we have various buy lists that the investment team create, and they would consist of offshore shares or local shares or local bonds, local cash instruments. And we would look at the projected return of each of those instruments there, and from the bottom up construct a portfolio that we think would have the best chance of achieving what we want for the client, which is generally a real return. Mm. So what makes it quite different is that we don't set out to shoot the lights out. We don't set out to get the most we can get. We set out to build a portfolio that, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future, and because as we've seen this year, things can be uncertain and volatile, we try to build something that has the best chance of achieving, let's say for our stable fund, inflation plus 3 over 3 years, or for our balanced fund, inflation plus 5 over 5 years. So we set up, we look at the different scenarios and say, are there enough different things working in this portfolio to give me a good chance of giving that to the client?
Hmm. You've been quite consistent in your message about the long-term investment horizon. But what's your view on the issue of time in the market rather than trying to time your entry into it?
Oh, I think it's an absolute given that you have to take a longer-term view when you look at investing, particularly in volatile stocks, in volatile asset classes such as it can be bonds or equities or property. And the reason is because at any point you're dealing with one data point, and the longer you actually stay invested, the better your chances of getting the compounding and getting the smoother ride in terms of getting to your destination. And I think that with information, people tend to look at their portfolios on a daily basis. And unless you have the temperament or the stomach to deal with the fluctuations that are part and parcel of investing, you probably shouldn't be looking at your portfolio every day, but take a much, much longer term view with it. Mm. The other thing also just to add is that people have to invest for a lot longer into retirement. So really to de-risk your portfolio because of something that happens in 2 or 3 years' time or even 4 years' time is really not that wise, but rather stick with a solid plan that's well diversified over a much longer period of time.
Mm. What you say makes a lot of sense, but you're part of a community that's sensitive to news and headlines. So how do you balance the need to understand the fundamentals of the portfolios that you run? And of course, with having that, long-term horizon thinking in the background as well, while at the same time not missing any cues that you can likely get from headline news. If I think of the Steinhoff case, for example, where its share price plunged by over 60% on the first day the market heard about its market irregularities. In that circumstance, how would you have moved then? And if indeed you were holding any Steinhoff stock, how did you react then?
At that point, in our unit trust, we did not have any Steinhoff stocks. To be fair, we had been looking at it. And then when the news came out, we decided to rather leave it for the moment and look at other investments. But I want to go back to the principle of, I think, first of all, if your plan is based on being honest about your situation. So let's say, for instance, you have a good advisor, of which there are many in South Africa, and you're honest with them about the time horizon, your appetite for risk, as honest as you can be about your entire financial situation, they generally are quite good at putting a long-term plan in place. And then I think when those things happen, it should be one aspect of your portfolio that's hit. Even if something does happen that affects your portfolio, let's say the rand blows out or the market drops by, as it did in October, by quite a few percent. Mm. And I think that is when the advisors, I think, really do excellent work in terms of explaining again that it's long-term, let's stick with it, let's go through, has your situation changed, do we need to make any tweaks? But the plan can only be good if it has a really good diversification underlying it. Anybody who is a normal human being with emotions, who's invested in only one asset class, is at one point going to be very likely to make a mistake. Mm. They need to have a couple of things that are working so that you can at all times say to an investor, I know equities didn't do that well this year, but at least you had 20% of your portfolio in cash. And look, that's given you a nice steady return. So next year, maybe equities will do better for you, etc. But it's hard to do that when you have a binary situation where it's one or the other. Mm. So it has to be, and I think a lot of it starts with the clients have to, or investors also have to be, they really have to be quite honest about their situation. Because if you're withholding stuff from your advisor, that's when you're going to come and say, actually I said I had 5 years for this, but I actually planned to dip into this money in the next year or two. Mm. And then when the market falls, you're going to be upset. So try to be as honest as one can, bearing in mind that life events happen.
Yes.
We've all had to help family members, and one has an understanding for that. But the more honest you can be, and the more resolve you can show with your plan, the better off you are going to be. And that's where a good advisor can help you, just to hold the line.
We know volatility has been the name of the game for global equities. So, and of course, locally here at home, but offshore equity markets have performed better than the local market. And of course, the benefit of being exposed offshore is that you're open to a wider world of investment opportunity. But how do you get the balance right? Because you can't time a market, as we've discussed already. And so it could be that as people run out of lowly valued SA equities, they run the risk that they may consistently fly in value after the disinvestment.
Yes, there is always that problem. I want to start with what you said right at the beginning. Offshore equities have performed better than local equities, and I think that's where the argument for me starts. It's actually irrelevant what those shares have done. What is relevant is what the valuations are now. So as our stocks in South Africa, quite big sectors of our market have become cheaper and cheaper, so big sectors of the international markets have become more and more expensive. So it's not, I think, what the markets have done, I think, should not come into the argument. But I think what should come into it is, first of all, back to diversification. As a South African, you do need to have offshore investments. We think that there are still some equities offshore that offer value, so we would have full allocation offshore. And given that, in terms of timing, how you get there, it is the most dangerous thing to do, you know, to do a huge lump sum investment after a big move in the rand. And the problem is that behaviorally, most people feel the need to invest offshore when the rand has weakened substantially, and they often need to be doing the opposite. So it's best, again, to get a goal. Let's say you have nothing overseas and you want to have 25 or 30% of your portfolio overseas. Do it in a measured way over a period of months or even a period of years, in such a way that you always have a chance of picking a reasonable rate in the rand and that you're not beholden to the large moves in the currency. Because I recall when, at the beginning of this year, when the rand bottomed out, I think at about 11.50 to the dollar, you could not persuade anybody to take money offshore. Yet, when it went back up to 15.50, everybody was clamoring with flows into offshore accounts, taking the money out of the African market. And that isn't the way to do it. It's more measured and having a goal in mind that you're working towards,
rather than just reacting to headlines.
Definitely.
That was Annette Hearn, CEO at PSG Asset Management.